Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. Thank you so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you. You know, you've been with us from 6 p.m. this evening, and it is the second and final hour of the show, +27734703520. That's the number that you can use to talk to us and let us in as well. If you do have any questions for my guest this evening, it is +27734703520. Really appreciate you for staying with us. And today, it is Tuesday, and on Tuesdays we do this thing called technology, and we look at some of the trends that are taking place in different industries, because I do think that technology cuts across all of them. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm a novice in this space, right? And that's why my guests come in to correct me most of the time. But I do think that, you know, that's what we're trying to do as a show, contribute towards that. And today we're talking about weather and climate modification, right? And if human activities could change climate, would it be possible to change it on purpose to suit us better? Yeah, that's the question we're trying to answer today. Why? From 1945 into the 1970s, much effort went into studies of weather modification. Now, American entrepreneurs, we are told, tried cloud seeding to enhance local rainfall. Russian scientists offered fabulous schemes of planetary engineering. Okay, some big words there. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm a novice in this space. And military agencies as well secretly explored climatological warfare. And in today's conversation this evening with Tembaletu, we will learn what all of this is about and what are the ethical considerations and, I suppose, implications for this. She is an environmental scientist. Yeah, I've always wanted to talk to a scientist. And she's joining us this evening. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tapelo, and good evening to your listeners.
Ah, how are you?
Good, thanks, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And we are almost at the tail end of this year, hey?
Yeah, it's been an interesting one, hey?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually thinking about it that, you know, this week is literally the end of the month of September and we are into the last quarter. Just yesterday, we were saying 2020 saw. I think it was 2020 saw. It was dubbed "We Are Soaring" or something. And I looked at myself and I'm like, I haven't even started. So this soaring thing can't be here, abobani, because it seems like some of us are not part of that. But almost the end of the year. How's the year been for you?
Sure, it's been interesting.
Okay.
Lots of changes on my side.
Ah.
So it's been an interesting year, yes.
Ah, fantastic. But a good one overall.
Overall, good one.
Ah, okay. Fantastic. Let's start here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and exactly what do you do? Environmental scientist sounds very nice and fancy.
Okay, my name is Tembaletu Ndimande.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Newcastle in KZN.
Okay.
So I hold a Bachelor of Science degree in Geography and Environmental Science from the University of the Free State,
okay,
as well as a Bachelor of Science Honours degree in Environmental Management from the University of South Africa.
Yeah.
And I currently work in the Shake space at Fraser Alexander.
At Fraser Alexander. Oh, okay. Was this something that you've always wanted to do, like growing up?
So funny enough, Tapelo, growing up, I have two younger sisters.
Yeah.
So growing up, my mom would do this thing of wanting to teach us how to cook.
Okay.
And always just run away from the kitchen. And instead of learning how to cook, I'd always be in the garden with my dad.
Ah, okay.
Reason. I always preferred being outside. And so I made a decision in grade 3 that I wanted to actually be an astronaut.
Mm. Okay.
Big word. And I was like, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so long story short,
yes,
I am not an astronaut, but I am an environmental scientist. So I still get to work outside. I still get to work with nature. So that makes me happy.
Ah, and that makes you happy. And I think that's the most important thing, right? I think a lot of us are in careers where we don't really like what we do. And so it feels like a job. So you're part of those people that, you know, they adapt to say, you know, be passionate about what you do. You'll never work a single day. So you've never worked in your entire like career.
Well, I wouldn't put it in those. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But you know, the passion does help, especially on the tough days.
Yes. Ah, fantastic. All right, fantastic. Really appreciate you. We're talking about now weather and climate modification. Very big gums, someone once said that. Very big words and all the sort of stuff. Perhaps let's start today. Can you please help us understand what are we talking about, weather, climate modification?
Okay, I think before we get into climate modification, we need to understand maybe the concepts of climate change and global warming.
So
climate change is the broader range of climate of changes happening to the planet climate system, which are not only limited to the warming. It's changes that are happening in the precipitation patterns, more extreme weather such as hurricanes and droughts, right? And so global warming would be a component of climate change. Climate change is the long-term increase in the Earth's average surface temperature due to human activities. So global warming is specifically due to human activities such as the emission of greenhouse gases, which are your carbon dioxides, your methanes, and your nitrous oxides, right? And so there are places in the world, South Africa is actually one of them, that suffer from drought, you know. And so scientists in the background sort of are working, because this is a continuous thing, working on ways to sort of mitigate, if I can say, the drought. And so cloud seeding is one of those mechanisms. So cloud seeding. So before we get into cloud seeding, because it's a man-made thing, let's get into what rain is, right? So rain is basically when the formation of clouds and then it rains. So how it happens is warm air rises and it forms droplets in the atmosphere, which condense, and then they form clouds, and then you see rain. And so cloud seeding is the scientific process which improves the cloud's ability to form rain. So this is done by introducing seeding agents into the atmosphere. So what they do is they send drones or aircrafts into the atmosphere that are carrying seeding agents such as dry ice. Most of the time they carry silver iodide. And they these agents are then released into the atmosphere. And when they get released into the atmosphere, they sort of encourage the water droplets to come together and form clouds and make rain.
And is that, I'm asking as an elementary person in this space, but is that what happened in Dubai?
Yeah, nobody wants to say for sure.
For sure, eh?
Yeah, no one wants to come out and be like, that's what happened in Dubai. You know, as a person who knows that Dubai is on dry land,
experience
a lot of droughts and the possibilities of floods, because they experience floods at one point in time. So the possibility of droughts, I mean, the possibility of floods in a drought-stricken place.
It's very possible. I get where you're coming from and all that. Okay, now take me back. I think I did geography at like grade 9. I think we used to call it standard 7 and all those sort of stuff. There's different types of clouds, right? Which ones form rain? I only remember rhombus or something like that, but there's a rhomb something in there. What are the others as well? And I'm asking because you spoke about the cloud seeding, where you are create almost like improving the ability of clouds to form rain and all that. Is it every cloud, or there's those different types of clouds that then form rain, others don't?
So there are three main different types of clouds. You get your cirrus clouds, which are the ones at the very, very, very far from us. So I'll start from the top.
Okay.
It's the cirrus clouds, it's stratus clouds, and then it's cumulonimbus clouds.
Okay.
So cumulonimbus clouds are the ones that form rain. They are those darker gray lower lying clouds that we see. They are the ones that form rain.
Look at me. I don't know where I got rhombus, something like that. I'm sure you're probably thinking.
Close enough.
Oh, I'm sure you're probably thinking, like, Uteen Manjilo. But yeah, okay. No, that's fine. Okay. Now help me also as well. And then I'm going somewhere with these questions, but also help me here. Global warming, climate change. You said which one is a subset of the other, or these things are completely different?
So they can be interchangeable.
Yeah.
However, global warming is a component of climate change.
Global warming is a component of climate change. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this global warming is because of what our activities here on Earth, right, that contribute to that, and then it changes the climate.
Yes.
Okay.
It changes the Earth's average surface temperature. So it changes our weather patterns, if I can say.
Okay. All right. I'm following you here. I'm in class and I'm loving this class. So please bear with me. Okay. And then this climate change, then, is it a result of intentional modification that you spoke about earlier on, or a manipulation at the hands of science and I suppose technology?
Okay, so climate change is a broader range of changes happening to the planet's climate system. So it's not only us, the things that we're doing to the planet, but also natural causes such as climate change. Yes. So climate change is caused not only by our actions, but also natural occurrences such as hurricanes, droughts, and floods.
No,
global warming is the one that we are directly having an influence or an impact on. Emissions and industrial activities that we're doing.
Okay, I get you. So it's shocking to me, because in my mind I was thinking that almost like nature works in tandem. Right, and there's a system within nature that allows it to operate in a certain way. For example, we know the sun will rise, because naturally it will rise either way. And even if there's clouds formed on that day, but you know, it will set even if it's behind the clouds. So you're saying nature in itself has a way to modify the climate?
Yes, through hurricanes.
Yeah.
Like excessive weather patterns, like extreme weather patterns such as hurricanes or droughts, they also have an impact on the climate.
Are those considered impact that is natural, like it's supposed to happen?
So they can be natural, but because of how much we've had an impact also on the environment, it's very... it's become very tough to sort of measure whether, okay, is this occurrence happening naturally or is it happening as a result of something that we've done?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now I want us to then unpack that for my listeners, because I think, like you said, there's an element of us being directly responsible for the climate change and global warming, right? So you said industrial action is one of them. Are there any others that we are doing? I just want to pen them very clearly for our listeners as well.
So the big ones are industrialization.
Yeah.
Deforestation is also a big one.
Deforestation. Okay.
Deforestation.
Yeah.
Deforestation, yes. And also the emission of fossil fuels. So dioxides that we are constantly releasing into the atmosphere, they're having a very big impact on the climate.
Okay. All right. So that's why I suppose there's a drive for more cleaner energy sources instead of fossil fuels to power up some of the very dirty cars that you drive, you know, and all those sorts of, because they are obviously emitting some stuff into the environment that causes a little bit of warming or changes in climate. And then we've got this big problem that we have of climate change. That's what it is.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now I love that. Now, there's a lot of I suppose skepticism, right, about the issue of climate change, for various reasons. Some believe it's a myth, it's a fable, it's not there, it's not something that, you know, is the truth. There's people who believe that there's monies that are being made. There's people who are making, you know how people like, you know, become and all that. There are people who are making money from this climate change and all that. Please, what evidence do we have that climate change is a real thing that's happening in this world? And how would you some examples of the impact that really does show that it's not a fable, it's not a myth, it's the truth?
Very simple one. Mm. We've just experienced snow.
Okay, we
very,
have.
Very real, very real, very practical.
We have.
Close to home. We've just experienced snow in
sure.
spring.
Sure. So it's not supposed to be happening, and it's happening already.
It's a very rare occurrence. It's very rare for it to happen. And for it to happen with this intensity, because reports are saying the snow was deep as 2 meters. That's like snow, like real snow. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I
don't know what the people are saying, but also let's just look at the things that are happening as well.
The things that are happening as well. That's very true. And I just want to pick your brain then, now that you've opened this can of worms around the snow there that's taking place here in South Africa. When you heard about it, or when you looked at it, what was your initial response to it or reaction?
It's snowing in September. That was my first thought. Yeah. It's snowing in September.
This can't be right.
Is it really snowing in September?
Yeah.
That was my first question.
Oh, sure. And I think that's like a question that we should all be asking ourselves as we reflect and think about whether this thing is true or not, whether we believe it or not. But it's snowing in September. That's an anomaly right there.
Temperatures dropped so much that the water droplets created ice crystals to form snow in September.
Yeah.
In South Africa. I don't know.
There are people who say that Africa is the smallest contributor to climate change. Is that correct? Because the feeling is that there's big world or first world countries that actually should be taking, because they are the ones who are the biggest emitters. They should take the biggest responsibility. Maybe this snow is them as well. Yeah.
So South Africa is a third world country.
Yeah.
And being a third world country, there's no way we can compare our carbon footprint to maybe your USA's or your UK's, which are first world countries, you know. The amount of carbon dioxide that we emit into the atmosphere versus the amount of carbon dioxide that they emit, it's not the same.
Yeah.
So I agree with you when you say they should be the ones leading in the being in the forefront of leading us in this drive of reducing the impact that we have on the climate as well as global warming.
But it doesn't leave us scot-free.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't leave us scot-free as well. Okay. I want to then look at what are the ethical and legal considerations around weather and climate modification. But let's start with the ethicals. What are some of the issues there if we do this weather climate modification?
So ethically, you're basically wanting to play Mother Nature with Mother Nature.
Ah, okay. Ooh.
And you want to, I won't say, you want to control when and how it rains and the amount of rain that who receives. Yeah, there's a lot of questions around cloud seeding. It's a thing that's been around for almost 8 years now, actually.
Sure.
But because of the ethics around it, yeah.
It's problematic.
Very problematic. And also Another issue with it is that it can be used as a weapon.
Because because I wanted to ask then the question that says there's obviously a good reason why there was this weather and climate modification, right? I suppose for drought-stricken countries and all that. But there's people who can use this thing unethically.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So is there room for regulation?
So because it's so it's a very tricky one. It's a very tricky one, and it because it's so difficult and hard to track, there aren't any, I can say, maybe rules that have been put in place for it, or that I know of, rather, because it's such a hot topic.
Yeah, hot potato.
Yeah, and a very costly one as well. So, yeah.
Should there be rules? Should there be legal, in your own opinion, regardless of the costs that's associated? Because we always have to do it like a trade-off between lives lost and the cost, of putting together legislation and all that. Do you think that there should be legal routes or legal laws, bills, and everything around this modification?
Definitely, because people won't stop.
Phew.
And yeah, one thing about science, it's constantly evolving, constantly changing. So if you don't put regulations in place, I don't think human beings will stop.
Yeah, we'll always push boundaries. Nah,
Yeah.
human beings are a problem. Human beings are a problem. Now, you alluded to, evolving and changing and all that. As we go to towards the end of this now, I just want to get a sense to say, then, because again, like I said, in my mind, there seems to be value, right, with this thing of modifying the climate and all that. There's obviously implications of it, and whether legal, ethical, and all those sort of stuff. There's those type of things to be considered, but there's a business case for it. It might have not ended very well in Dubai. It ended in tears, but I'm sure there was a very good reason why they wanted to do that and modify. Again, I'm speaking with circumspect because we don't know whether that was the case or whatever. But to me, it sounded like that's what it is. And I suppose as someone who's not a scientist, I can say these things freely, unlike you. Yeah, but I know you've got boundaries and all that stuff and the laws that bound you and all that. But in my mind, and I'm thinking purely as a finance person, there truly is a business case and all those sort of stuff. What are the trends then that you are seeing as scientists in this space? Is it growing? Is it yes, there's implications, there's fights and all that, but what are you guys seeing? What are you guys talking about? What are the commonalities, consensus? Where is the world going on this modification?
I mean, is also one of the countries that has participated in cloud seeding, just by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes, there was a trial in 1991, 1992. So the experiment was designed in conjunction with the Center of Applied Statistics at the University of South Africa. So done at Bethlehem and Nelspruit. And I'm not sure if it was ever done ever again after that. So that should tell you something.
Oh, it does tell me a lot. Ooh, it does tell me a lot. So those are the conversations taking place right now to say, let's test these things and let's see.
Yes, but you're testing it. You're testing. So in science, you need to weigh, like your when you make a hypothesis, you need to weigh your pros and cons.
Yes.
So I feel like I think at the moment there are more cons than there are pros to it. Been more cons than there've been pros, in my opinion, to cloud seeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so your view would be for now, we need to hold off a little bit until we can balance the scale, or at least the benefits outweigh the cons.
Yes, in my opinion.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, any final thoughts from yourself? You have a very nice job, by the way. You do some really nice things there, talking about some stuff that's amazing there. But any final thoughts on this? I mean, I have my own views, and in my mind, as I frame this conversation, I'm like, yo, there's a lot happening out there.
Oh, definitely. Of course, as a scientist, I have to say that climate change is a phenomenon that is happening, that is there, that I've seen based on studies that my colleagues have conducted.
Yeah.
I would say it's important for us to just sit down, take a step back, and look at what's happening in the world. Maybe try to read up on things. And yeah, there's a lot happening in the world, Tapelo, in terms of science. And yeah, that's all I'll say. People need to, let's read up on what's happening in the world.
You're tossing me, as they would say.
No, I'm not tossing you. I'm just speaking as a scientist.
As a scientist. I get you very, very well. But what a lovely conversation. I think I've learned a lot. I mean, I definitely need to go. You must recommend some few books for me, please, that I can go and read up on this thing, or some papers that have been written on this thing as well, so that I can get myself abreast on these things. What I take with me is there are cons, there are pros, but the cons outweigh the pros currently. There's the issue of regulation that's needed, because human beings can be human beings and do funny things with these things. So you need to regulate those sort of things from an ethical and legal point of view, so that there isn't people taking advantage of this cloud modification. But we need to be circumspect as we do this thing, as we go forward, whether we are looking at seeing it being done and I suppose being integrated into who we are. I must look at this 1991 that you spoke about. But that's what I'm getting. We need to be circumspect about these things as we apply them.
Definitely.
Yeah, got it, ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time and look forward to having this conversation once again with you.
Thank you for having me, Tapelo.
Thank you so much. That is, of course, Susis Thembaletu talking to us this evening about a topic that is really, really interesting. It is about, of course, weather and climate modification. Senzani, what are we doing, human beings? We are modifying things. Like she said, we are playing with Mother Nature, taking Mother Nature and pitting Mother Nature against each other. Senzani, bantabam. Yeah, no. Senzani, kakhle kakhle. What are we doing? Yeah. Anyways, I'd like to hear from you, +27734703520. What do you think of this climate modification? We are adding things there. We are cloud seeding.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.